Blog Talk Radio. Emphasize the five downward moral sense of verses 5 through 10, and the same people who enjoyed great privilege from God also fell into serious apostasy from God under the cloud. And this speaks of divine guidance and protection. You know, they all passed through the sea. This was reference to the divine deliverance as they were traveling. He came to the sea, and God parted the sea so they could cross, and then destroyed Egyptian armies there in the sea. And as we go on, baptized unto Moses, is what he's telling us here in verse 2, in the cloud. And this is a figurative use of the term baptism. And the people were emerged under Moses' authority. Thus the expression speaks of divine leadership. Now, here in 3, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. The same spiritual meat. Paul does not intend to imply that the manna was not literally food, it was clearly designed for ordinary nourishment, and it was spiritual in the sense that it was supernaturally provided by the Spirit of God. Likewise, the water that was received from the rock was real water. It was spiritual in the sense that it was given through God's direct intervention. And we know how that worked because as we studied that in the book of Exodus, where he had Moses to take his staff and hit the rock, and the water came forth. But it was done by the Lord our God. There's number 4. Should they all did drink. We're talking about that water from the rock. But that rock also was Christ. The rock was not a visible revelation of God. Rather, it was a type of Christ. It prefigured the provision that Christ would ultimately make for his people, but also it is intended to mean that the source of supply was Christ and not the rock itself. This passage is an impressive affirmation of the preexistence of Jesus Christ. Now, we go into verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And we know this because we know what all happened out there in that wilderness. And we know that they was walking away from the Lord God. They had Aaron to make them a gold idol, which was a calf. And they was really having a time, a party with this calf when Moses came down from the mountain carrying those stone tablets with the Ten Commandments on them that God had wrote himself. And we know that Moses was so upset that he threw those tablets down and broke them. And we also know that too, that there was a lot of them that was going to be sorry for what was happening and what was getting ready to happen. Because the Lord was not pleased now with them at all. And he sent an earthquake, opened up the earth, and there was 23,000 of them destroyed. There is another place that tells us that there was 24,000 destroyed. So evidently, it's not contradicting itself. What they've done has been probably something over 23,000, and they've each place just rounded it off. But we know that there was at least that many that were destroyed that day by the earthquake that God sent. And we know that from Exodus. Now, here in 6, it says, now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And we know that's what they were doing. Because with this golden calf that Aaron had made when Moses came down, they was having a lot of evil doings going on among the people that they was not to be doing. And that was what was making the Lord God angrier at them. Now, 7. Neither be ye idlers. In other words, we're not supposed to be looking for idols to worship instead of our heavenly Father. And he goes on to say, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And we know about that account. But like I said, we studied that as we came through the book of Exodus. Now, 8. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. There's that 23,000 I was telling you about. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Well, we know there was a time that they had made God angry, and they were serpents that had got in among them. And so many, and they were poison serpents. And when they would bite one, that one would die. And we know from our study that God had Moses to make a brass serpent and raise it high upon a pole, and those that were bit would look upon that serpent and they would be healed. They'd not die, they'd be healed. Which once again is a type of the way Christ would die. And those that would look upon him would also be healed of their sicknesses and diseases, be forgiven of their sins, and be made whole. Now, nine. No, ten. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonishment, upon whom the ends of the world are come. You see, there was a time that a lot of these warnings are for you and I. 12, therefore, let them that think he standeth take heed, lest he fall. We know that examples, now these things happen to them typically, and the expression emphasizes God's providential control over all affairs of men. And he talks about written for our admonition. One of the reasons God calls Moses to record the experiences of the children of Israel was that he had Paul and the Corinthian believers in mind, and he knew that the Corinthians were going to face similar crisis and situations. And when that time came, the example of the children of Israel would provide the deterrent to guide them from sin and lead them to spiritual victory, even unto the ends of the world, and that is for us who are living in the end times. You see, that is even for you and I today that are living in the end times. Paul considered the second coming of Christ to be imminent. Another, he knew that it was going to happen. He doesn't know when, no. But he knew it was coming, and he knew those of us in the end time needed to be warned of these things so we would not repeat them. Now, 13. There has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. No temptation can hit you that's not commonly known among man and mankind. And we do, because even those really that are not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, they know a lot of things that they do is not right, because they have heard it from others, and even a lot of it they do is against law that man has made even. And just here lately, and a lot of those laws, they are breaking and nothing being done about it, because we are living in very evil times. In this day and time that we are living in is very, very, very evil. Now, but he goes on to let us know that God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. You see, when we are the children of God, we're going to face temptations, yes. All kinds of temptations. But God will make a way for us to escape those temptations that are wrong for us. Now, he's going to make a way to escape or a way out, whichever one you'd like to call it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. You see, we are not to play around with anything that has to do with idol worship. No, we don't need even idols in our house of these false gods and things that they had in that day and time. Now, 15. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. He's letting you and I know to judge what he's saying, to see if it's truth or not. Well, we know it is because we read it all through the Word of God. Now, 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Yes, it is. You see, the bread that we take with communion is in remembrance of his flesh. And the drink that we drink is done in remembrance of his blood. We all know that. And that's why it is important for those that partake of communion to be his children and believers. Because when you're not, then you find that things just don't work right. Now, we don't know why it's that way, but he does. That's all that's necessary. And he tells you and I about that. 17. For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. You see, this, you and I are baptized in Jesus' name. Because in order to be partakers of that, we have to put on his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and we do that through baptism. Baptism for you and I are not the same as it was under the law and in the day of the apostle or John the Baptist. John the Baptist, his baptism was for repentance of sin. Now we go to Jesus for repentance. And we're baptized in order to put him on and to put on his death, his burial, and his resurrection. But we have so many out here today that is teaching all that the wrong way. And they are trying to keep it all actually under the law, because they're doing it as John the Baptist done it. in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's not the way for it to be done. And we are told in God's Word, and we know that because it ain't been that long ago that we studied it, because as we came through the book of Acts, and we was in the second chapter, we found that out, what the plan of salvation is, was repentance, being baptized in Jesus' name, and growing on until we would receive the Holy Spirit of Almighty God, which at that time we became born again. And we've also studied about that, about being born again. Now, Acts 18. Behold, Israel after the flesh, for not they which eat of the sacrifices, takers of the altar. The takers of the altar. And that's when the sacrifice was brought to the altar. It was not entirely consumed, but rather a portion was divided between the priests and the officers. And thus it became an act of mutual sharing and worshiping God. And this passage must not be construed to indicate that the Lord's Supper is a sacrifice. The point of correspondence was not sacrifice, communion. Now, you see, these are things that we need to really know, because they have a lot with you having the ability to walk as his child. Because without these things, you don't have that ability. Because without him, we are nothing. But with him, we can do all things in which we are called upon to do and to accomplish. 19. What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Because you see, that's what sacrificing the idols is doing. And he doesn't want that with us. 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. You can't walk both ways. 22. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he is? Something's wrong, isn't it? No, we're not. And you know, a lot of people don't like this kind of teaching. In fact, I just lost YouTube. They just cut me off. But that's all right. Now, 23. He says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. And our lives should be to edify not only us, but those around us, and especially those that are in church with us. Now, 24. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. Always want the best. And you know, Paul is speaking here in a restricted sense, because what he's doing, he means that all matters of indifference. Watch what we say, watch what we do, and how we act with another, and pray for them to have everything that they need. Now, 25. Whatsoever is sold in the shambles, bet ye, asking no question for conscience sake. You see, shambles is a term used only here in the New Testament and refers to the market. And in the sacrifices, usually only a part of the animal was consumed, and the rest was given to the priest or sold again in the market. And anyone, therefore, unknowingly purchased meat offered to idols. You see, that could happen. Very easily, really, very quickly. But see, if you didn't know that it had been a sacrifice to idols, there was nothing wrong with you eating it. It's when you know. 28. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not thy own, but of the other. You do it also for the one that is in the wrong, letting him see what he needs to be doing instead of eating. For why is my liberty judged of another man's conscience? But it's to help the other man. We know not to do it because the word tells us not to do it. But for those that do these things, and we are around, and we don't partake with them, we pray then that it will help them, conscience-wise. He goes on here in 30. For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that for which I give thanks? Now, but you see, we are talked about, ridiculed, and mocked. And a lot of times for that very thing. 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Not idols or anything that way, but to God. And that's why we thank him when we sit down to eat a meal, or we sit down and we take the time to eat anything, we thank him for that. Now, because for one, he's let us have it. Unless it's something for idols. Now, and then we don't do it. 32. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Telling you and I there, we don't give offense to the Jews because they're Jews, which is being done all around the world today and even here in our own land. Those that have turned against the Jews and against the nation of Israel. Now, 33. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. You see, he's not out for his own profit, because Paul knew he was saved. He knew who he was, and he knew his standing with the Lord God and the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew all of that. And that is what you and I are supposed to grow into, so that we know what our standing is with Almighty God. And we have just now come to the end of chapter 10. And we're going to be closing God's word here. We're not going into 11 tonight. Has got 34 verses in it, and there's quite a bit more to learn here in 11. You see, Corinthians is another book that is filled with a lot of do's and don'ts. And just a little further than what we are here in Corinthians, you're going to see where a lot of our churches are teaching contrary to this word of Almighty God. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we have closed your word, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus and for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for each other and for the times that we can come together to share your word and to show our love one for the other and for each other's family. Because, Father, we know that we are to keep the families in prayer. Because we all have family members, Father, that are walking in darkness. And we need others praying with us for them, so that the Holy Spirit working with us and with them can help them to come to an understanding of knowing that they need something more than themselves, that they need a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that they too can make heaven their home. And Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them, but more so Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah. And for our land, Father, that is walking in so much evil today, we're praying for the leadership of this land, Father, those that are evil in it, to be removed from office and replaced by those that belong to you, that love you, that love the Lord Jesus, loves your church, loves your people, and loves this country. And will work with us, Father, to bring this land to repentance and put it back, our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being upon your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, be with us all, each one of us, Father, here tonight. Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Amy's husband, Tom, Amy's son, Jacob, Millie, and Bobby Johnson, James Taylor, myself, and our families, Father. Be with them through this night. And may the Holy Spirit work with them until we'll have more of them, Father, listening to these studies of this word, Father, to grow strong in the Lord Jesus Christ and not in the ways of this world. But will join with us, Father, to go forward with the Lord Jesus. Now, Father, keep us all in health, keep us safe, and bring us all back together again come morning and back into your word at 10 a.m. Father, I ask all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a good night. And may God be with you.